been a lot of drama since
Oh my god.
I didn't realize that Milwaukee was going to be so dramatic.
Like, in, like, all these different venues. Like...
Yeah, like...
Like, because it, it's not even all Milwaukee drama. It's just that, like, it seems to have brought it all out. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, like, some of it... I spent some of today going through the Past Times Discord, reading all of the complaints.
Oh, my God.
And... There was that one post on Facebook that called someone the false prophet judge. Which is so hardcore.
I love someone being annoyed at someone and being like, freaking false prophet.
He was like, don't listen to that false prophet judge. And then we have some pro player drama.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. I'm glad that the only, like, pro that I played was pretty chill, you know? He didn't give off any sketchy vibes or anything like that, so...
Who did you play, or are we not talking about that?
I mean, I didn't say anything bad about him. Mm-hmm. I played Brian Cordaid. Hold on.
And when you say pro,
well, he like won he's on DLC a team. Chicago. Last
oh,
year.
That's right. Yes.
Yeah. Lorcana, Chicago.
I probably played pros, and I just don't even know it.
Brian Cordaid. Well, yeah, I got paired against him in round 10, and he was my. He was my third loss and my first of day two. And, when I got paired against him, I was like, Brian Cordaid. And I was like, oh no, I should not recognize names. It's such a bad sign when I recognize, like, what do I know that name from? Nothing good. There's no good omens.
Definitely not on day two.
Not on day two, and not when you have no lives left. You know, yeah. you're on your last one, and you're like, okay, perfect run. Here we go. Well, aside from all the drama, I suppose we should get into it. So, welcome to Inca Podcast Play a Podcast.
A classic turn one play. I'm Amy Orr.
And I'm Matthew Orr Bridges. Did you like that?
Oh, that was nice.
So, we got back from Milwaukee a little bit ago, and we're gonna talk about Milwaukee a little bit, and it, within the greater context of today's topic. But first, how was Milwaukee for you?
Ah, Milwaukee was challenging. In a great way. I personally went 5-3 on day one, which so close.
Yeah. When was your third loss?
Round 7.
Ah. Yeah. Yeah.
Worse if it was round 8, but still pretty bad at round 7.
Better than if it was round 3. You got that Mulan?
I sure did. I got two of them because then I went on to the Infinity Spectacular.
Man, I'm so jealous. Yeah. Yeah,
it was pretty fun to go back in time.
I feel bad for being jealous. I went 6-2. I made day 2.
Woo
woo. Woo woo. Yep, I lost. I started out 4-0. I was feeling real great about myself. And lost round 5, and I was like, that's fine. That's a gimme.
That's fine. It's not going to be undefeated. It's fine.
Yeah. And won round 6, lost round 7. And then going into round 8, I was like, I'm going to lose, aren't I? This is not... I'm like, oh, no. And it ended up being probably one of my best matchups that I didn't know existed. And so I was able to get to day 2. I mean, fantastic. I'm elated that I made it to day 2. You know, like, no complaints there. But there was a little bit of me that was like, so you're telling me that I have to go 4-0 in a much harder field?
Mm-hmm.
and then may still bubble the top 32. And I was like, yeah, that sounds doable. That's fine. And I can't play in the Infinity event. Like, I am locked out of playing in the Infinity event because of this. And so there was a little bit of me that was like, should I drop from day two and just play in the Infinity event? Because, like, the obstacles to getting to top 64 or top 32 are just so insurmountable. And that was silly, and there was no way that I was actually going to do that. But there has been a lot of discussion around it since. I mean, that's some of the drama is, you know, the event organization, you know, and the fact that getting to day two was basically the only prize. Like, anybody who made day two but did not make top 64, there were no other prize considerations for those people. And by the end of round four, half the day was gone. You know, it was like 2 or 3 p.m. And it was like, well, what do I do now? Like, yeah. What do I do with the rest of it?
Yeah, I remember when you were like, okay, I'm out of the running. And it's like, I don't really think you can do anything else.
I mean, yeah.
Enjoy waiting for me to be done, I guess.
Yeah, and there was, you know, I lost round 10 and 11. And the loss in round 11 did mean that I was out of top 64 running. Actually, probably the loss in round 10 did also,
in
because
the end,
a lot of 9
yeah.
and 3s did not make top 64, but we were unaware of that at that point. And so I could have quit after round 10 and round 11, and I didn't have to play round 12, but I did, just to say that I did. I could have joined some side events if I wanted to, but at that point I was so tired, and I didn't want to wait in lines and play more core constructed, you know? And so, yeah. So kind of a weird end to the weekend. You had some Infinity success though. What was your record in,
well,
in 5 and 2?
5 and 2. Yeah. Yeah. The prize structure is a little bonkers where, man, you really have to keep going for anything to be worth it. Most people were dropping out once they had lost twice, which I thought was a little bit crazy.
Yeah. You know, I liked the structure and of the Infinity event, and I think that it should be, that philosophy should be incorporated into the main event, where every
yes.
round guarantees you additional prizing, even if it's minimal.
Yes, and that's why, while a lot of people were like, I'm going to go do side events like crazy, I was like, you know, if I keep playing and keep playing well, then like every round my points are doubling.
Yeah.
Every round I win. Honestly, I think that ended up working really well for me. 5 and 2, I'm happy. I'm pretty proud of that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, especially given that 5 of them were Amber Steel matches. And I'm not a fan.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of Amber Steel, a lot of blue decks floating yeah. around from what I saw. Well, and, you know, I think people who were dropping after their second loss were viewing it within a, you know, a pay rate.
Yes, those are the very, I've crunched all of the numbers, and like, I need maximum ticket return, and I'm not afraid to spend infinite amount of money on side events in order to get the tickets that I want.
Right, right. And I think that's, people from our community were crunching those numbers.
Absolutely.
And they were just like, you know, you could spend $600 on pack rushes and get, you know, a playmat and 5 boxes of cards. And,
right.
And, you know, it was one of those things where I'm like, okay, I mean, that's probably good value, but is it fun?
Is it fun? Like, it's not fun for me.
Do I want to spend
that's
my time doing
do.
That?
Yeah.
No, and I wasn't super interested in that. I didn't want to join random side events and pay extra money, you know? And there was nothing really, neither of us are really interested in like the playmats.
Right.
Or the pins, you know? We're barely interested in promos, to be honest.
I'm interested in prizes. I yeah. just don't care what they are.
There was a discussion that was happening, kind of a sub-discussion that was happening with some of this pro-player drama, where people were talking about how the prizes being so valuable was leading to some, you know, unfortunate etiquette, unfortunate attitudes, yeah, you know?
And I could see that.
And I could totally see that also, you know? And my viewpoint, and like some of the comments were saying that, you know, like, if the prizes weren't so valuable, then you wouldn't get such cutthroat people and cutthroat gameplay. But at the same time, like, I'm definitely one of those people that sell or trade any values that I earn, any valuables that I earn, so that I can continue playing. You know, it's funding the next DLC or whatever, you know? And so, and I don't think that there's anything wrong with that, as long as I think it doesn't lead to bad attitudes, you know? I hope that I don't give off bad vibes
you give when I'm off playing. Great vibes when you're winning.
Yeah, I do. Yeah, I'm like, good job, that was, yeah, you're doing really well. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Almost had me. But yeah, I do win.
I do win.
But that was a valiant attempt. And then when I'm losing, I'm just very quiet. I'm like, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You do have that too, huh? Triple Hades. That's interesting.
No. Okay.
So I would say we both had a good time, though.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I had gone into it with, obviously, the goal of make day two. Technically, my goal was third place. Yours was second.
Yeah.
Maybe
we were a little unrealistic with those expectations.
Maybe. But I knew that, for me, not having had a ton of success. I've had success. I haven't had a ton of it. And so sure. I knew that making day two was kind of my stretch goal. And
mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, if we get the funding, then.
Yeah, exactly. And yeah. So I am very pleased with my 5-3 score. And I feel like that means that next time.
One went away. One went away from day two.
And
I mean, that's.
By the way, what if I had been playing Wasabi?
Yeah. Were there a lot of items that you lost to?
No, but I did the just match one. That the match that knocked me out of contention was Dogs and Emerald Omicron.
Omicron.
What did I just say? What did I just say?
You said Omicron.
No, I didn't. I didn't say that. I can't even.
I have it on recording.
Shut up. Now I don't even know what it's called anymore, but it's Emerald.
Yeah.
Chromacon.
Well,
I got it.
It's Chromacon.
I got it.
Omicron is going to be in set 12 or something.
Right.
So, well, that is what we wanted to talk about today was goal setting.
Yes.
You know, like how do you manage expectations when going into tournaments, big or small, to be honest? Like, this doesn't just apply to DLCs. This can apply to set championships and locals. And it just depends on kind of what your level is, what your expectations are. I think the first thing that comes with goal setting is what is goal setting? And I think it's a way to not get your heart broken when you don't win first place.
Yeah.
You know, It's a way of mitigating, like, you're going to go into a 2,000 person tournament and then you're going to not get first place. And if that was what you were envisioning, yeah, you know, you might be a little upset, even though you may have done extremely well. If your expectations don't line up with reality, I think you're going to be a little heartbroken. And so setting goals is a way to judge how well you actually are doing within a more realistic context. And I think for me, the first part of that is I think you have to be honest with yourself about what level you are currently at. And I think that's probably going to be the hardest part is truly evaluating your skill or your ability and matching that up with an appropriate goal.
Yeah, that is a tough one because I'll be very honest. While I said that making day two was my goal, stretch goal, whatever you want to call it, my real goal was just to get the Mulan, you know?
Right.
Pull out three games. Please pull out three games, you know?
Yeah, you can do that, you know?
I beat three people? Can't I?
Across 9 or 8 rounds, you would think, right?
In the loser's bracket?
You've won set championships before. Won set championship before.
Hey, and I've won... there's the plural. It's two.
Okay, yeah, that's... Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Getting 3 match wins, a totally attainable goal. Getting 6 match wins, you know, you would have to, you know, kind of push and get lucky to achieve that level, right? Like that's not my evaluation, that's your evaluation.
Yes, but what I'm saying though is that what the knowledge of what is an appropriate goal for me is very hard because within me, I was saying, just get that move on and everything will be fine. But externally, I'm saying, yeah, day two, that's the goal.
Yeah, I'm going to get third place.
Third place. Hello. I'm going to get all of the Mickeys.
Yes. I'm going to beat people up for them. Yeah, so like you were being honest with yourself internally.
Well, but that's what I'm saying, right? Because I might be being honest with how I think I am, but then I went and did 5. So really my goal, more realistically, should be day two, you know?
Well, I think definitely now you're like you achieved the realistic goal that you had, right? Which was 3 match wins. Get to that Mulan. You showed that you can go to 5. And so now your ability and your acknowledgement of that status that you're at is I can do one more.
Yes.
I can go one more time.
I'm not gonna let Matt convince me not to have wasabi in my deck.
Yeah. You're welcome for the one jump ahead, by the way.
Yeah.
So I'm right and wrong.
I want to be very clear. Equally. You get 0 of the blame. Wasabi made me so mad every time I saw him. So did one jump ahead.
Yeah, that's true. I get the blame and the praise.
You get no blame. You get a little bit of praise for one jump ahead.
I did feel like I bullied you into that ninth piece of ramp, but it was for your own good.
Whatever.
It was for your own good. But so I think that is a very appropriate. It was a very appropriate goal for you to set in Milwaukee to get 3 wins, right? In Richmond, if we end up getting tickets to Richmond, I think a very appropriate goal is to make day 2. Right?
I think that makes sense, right?
Yeah, that's the next step. Yeah. And it is so attainable. It's just one more than you've already done.
Mm-hmm.
So like from my side of things, the last DLC that I attended was in Vegas last year. And it was, I mean, season 1 was a different format. We didn't have like this point threshold that we had to reach in order to make day 2. Day 2 was just the top cut. But if we try to compare them, it was like, I feel as though, because I was playing a win and in for the top 64 in Vegas, and I lost my win and in. And so going into this season, I'm like, I think I can get back to that point. I can get back to that point where I'm playing a win and in for top 64. Whether or not that's top cut, I don't, you know, like whatever. But, and so included in that goal this season, because of the structure of the tournament, meant that I had to make day 2, because top 64 was the winning in for top 64 was going to end up being like round 10 or 11. And I met that goal. You know, I won. I was 6-2 going into or at the end of day 1, won my ninth round and lost my 10th. And so I sort of got back to the same point that I was in Vegas, even if I was several wins away from making top cut. I sort of got back to the same point that I was in Vegas. So my goal for the next DLC that I attend is going to be the same, because I have yet to achieve the top 64 goal that I set for myself, you know, and if I were to come up with a stretch goal, it would be like, okay, if I can make top 64, that is one win away from where I've been twice now. Maybe my stretch goal is making top cut, you know, like that's only three more wins. And, you know, if I have a really lucky run, if I'm feeling good about it, if I put in the practice, then maybe I can make the top cut at the next one.
Well, I don't want to derail things. And I don't know if this is where you were going with this next, but what would be helpful is if Ravensburger helped us with these goals. Like you said before about the Infinity Spectacular and every round having a prize so that like there's incentive to continue going, the main event didn't have that. I, for instance, like we said, I was knocked out of contention in round 7. I had no incentive. Zero incentive to go into round 8.
Yeah. Well, and we were talking about that at the beginning of the tournament, which was like, you need 3 wins for the Mulan, and you cannot make day 2 with 3 losses. And so at the end of round 6, if you're 3-3, there is no incentive to play out the rest of the tournament.
I really feel like we should be incentivized to continue playing throughout the whole tournament.
Yeah. And I wonder, you know, I wonder if that is an incentive that like tournament organizers or Ravensburger, if they want that incentive, or if they're kind of relying on people dropping and leaving at a certain point.
Oh, I don't like that.
No, I don't like that either. I think it's much more exciting having all 2,000 competitors there and competing and
excitedly competing because like, if you're still working toward something, then the excitement level stays up.
Well, and that's what, you know, goal setting does is.
Yes.
And I know we've talked about like intrinsic versus extrinsic reward structures, and you can be intrinsically motivated where, you know, you didn't have to play out your last few rounds. I didn't have to play out my last few rounds. I did anyway because I wanted to see where I fell.
Sure.
I wanted to see what rank I ended up with at the very end. And because I am intrinsically motivated to a certain extent.
I played my last round on the off chance that I was going to get some weird pair up, pair down, and I could seal someone else's victory.
yeah, exactly. But the thing is that not everybody is intrinsically motivated, and especially it's hard to justify only intrinsic rewards when 99% of the players had to travel and have expenses and, you know, had to take time off of work and take time away from their families.
And the event is 13 hours long and you're tired.
God, yeah. And I know I said this to everybody going into the last round of day 1, but I was sitting there and I was so tired, and it was literally the most important match of the day for me. And I told you guys, I was like, I know that this is just how time works, but I'm so mad that the most important round has to be at the very end of the day. Like, I know that there's no fixing that.
Yeah.
But it's so annoying. But so, like, my point is that extrinsic rewards keep people going, not only throughout the day, but in general, they keep people playing. And they don't have to be crazy. They don't have to be super valuable. But just something like the Infinity event, where every win got you four, you know, doubled your tickets that you've already won. And, you know, just pushing on a little bit more, that also helps with goal setting. If you are not intrinsically motivated to know, well, I want to know what my ranking is at the end of this tournament, or at the end of my time in this tournament, then you can use those external rewards and also achieve the same internal ranking, internal results that you would have without them, but it gives you a reason to continue at an event that is ostensibly about the prizes. Like, that's why a lot of people are going.
I just got a little distracted because I realized I really wanted to know where I ended in the Infinity Spectacular.
Oh, yeah.
That's not very good. It's not very good. Out of 800 players, I was at 131st.
Oh, I mean, that's not terrible.
Yeah. You know.
Like, I think that's That's pretty good.
I'm not sad.
I mean, you didn't practice Infinity at all.
That's true. I didn't practice it at all. You know, zero amount. You were practiced. Just going based
off of muscle memory.
Yeah.
I just looked it up, and I was 162nd in the main event, which I think is pretty decent.
Oh, hold on. Let me check the main event. Hold on. 475th.
Okay.
Top.
I mean.
Quarter.
Top 25. Yeah. Right? Like that. Top 25.
Did it.
Percent.
Did it.
Yeah. So, I mean, like, that's pretty good. And, you know, like, those sorts of numbers make goal setting really easy.
That's where true.
You're just like, all right, I was 162nd in Milwaukee, and I'm going to beat that next time. I don't know what the breakdown is going to be. I don't know what record I'm going to need. I just know that I'm going to beat that. I'm going to be a little bit better.
Yeah.
The next time.
That is a good other goal. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, if I don't make day two, at least I want to do better than I did in Milwaukee or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's another good goal.
So I know that we had a good time. We had an overall positive experience in Milwaukee. I think that there were some issues, and I know that this is being completely dissected in various corners of the internet right now about the issues in Milwaukee. And we had our fair share, you know, like, I mean, Jesus, the main event took 12-13 hours for eight rounds. Mm-hmm. Like that was a lot. That was a lot. And the side events were kind of lackluster. And I heard someone describe the prize wall tickets as Dave and Buster's levels of inflation. No, so I think the side events were a little lackluster and didn't, except for the Infinity event, they did not entice me enough.
You might recall that you said you were going to play the Infinity event, and I was like, oh, I didn't realize it was an entire day thing. Hold on a second, let me look at stuff. And because I was very sad, because I'd really enjoyed the side events in the past. And so then I went and I looked at the side events, and I was like, oh, I guess it's fine if I'm in the Infinity all day.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, I don't know if this should be a different episode, but I've been thinking about, like, the schedule for the DLCs. And, you know, we did some side events in Atlanta, and we did some side events in Vegas. Granted, neither of us made day two in either of those tournaments. But in Atlanta, that event came out in the 3-week time frame that a new set had just come out but was not yet legal. And so I know that for me, I was not paying attention to Ursula's Return at all. Like, it was just not on my mind because I needed to focus on the Into the Inklands metagame. And so by the time we got knocked out of that tournament and we got to play some sealed events with Ursula's Return, it was a lot of fun because it's like, okay, cool. I can finally focus on Ursula's Return. Hey, look at these new cards.
Ooh,
I don't have
any
of these yet.
And
you know, and that was a lot of fun. And I know in Vegas we did some sealed events, and because and that was we were shooting for a goal on the prize wall. You know, we wanted some first chapter boxes, and neither of those things were true in Milwaukee.
Yeah.
The prize wall was a little lackluster. The promos that they have were not, they just didn't speak to me in the same way that Rapunzel and Cinderella did.
There were things on the prize wall that intrigued me, but they were impossible gets. You know, like I said that if I really could get anything from the prize walls, it probably would have been an uncut sheet, and I would have put it in a frame and put it on my wall.
Yeah, that's super cool.
And then second would be I thought that the extra large cards were
the jumbo cards.
Cards were very cool. But they were 20,000 tickets.
Yeah.
How do you get that?
I mean, well, and that's the thing is that it's like in order to get basically any of those higher ticket items, you had to just grind side events.
Yeah.
Not even doing well in the main event got you, I mean, nowhere close to the uncut sheets. And I got 10,000 tickets for making day two, and I was halfway to one jumbo card, you know? And so, like, and, you know, the side events, the on-demand events, they were doing, you know, if you went 3-0, you got, like, less than 5,000 tickets. You got, like, 4,800 tickets or whatever. It was, like, you had to grind them out all day. And not only is that a lot of time, that's a lot of money, mm-hmm. you know, like, that you just have to pour into it. And, yeah. Except for the Infinity event, if you won the Infinity event, you got like 30,000 tickets.
30,000, yeah.
And again,
that
you couldn't be in if you 7-0'd. If you 7-0'd.
7-0'd, yeah.
Yeah. And but in the Infinity event, you could not be in the main event.
Right.
And so it's not like I could have 7-0'd the Infinity event while also making day two, unless I dropped out of day two, which that was the reason I was there, was the main event. And so it's just like it's a matter of, like, priority that I feel wasn't very well thought through in Milwaukee. And I don't know if that was Past Times. I don't know if that was Ravensburger. I don't know where the blame, so to speak, lies. But I just was not enticed at all to do anything besides play in that main event and then figure out how to spend my tickets in whatever way possible. So.
Well, yeah, and you saw me waiting in line to get my tickets, and I'm just like, everybody kept asking me what I was going to spend it on, and I'm like, I have no idea.
No idea.
I don't know. I'll probably just throw it at something and say, does that get me anything?
Right. Here are my tickets. Give me the best thing, please.
Yeah.
And that was, I mean, sort of what we ended up doing, and it was fine. You know, like, I think I'm intrinsically motivated enough that while it would have been nice, like I saw, I witnessed the sale of the top 32 and top 64 promo. I was there when it happened and I was like, I didn't know they were that valuable. That would have been nice.
Oh, yes, the sale. Okay, I thought you meant like getting it at the prize wall and I was like, what are you talking about?
I'm talking about the foil versions, you know, and it's like, that would have been nice. That would have been real nice. Made top cut, and that is like you get the invite, and your consolation prize is a couple $1,000s. And that would have paid for the weekend for sure, you know. But I am intrinsically motivated enough that that's not really what I expected to happen. I never expected to be anything but in the red coming out of this weekend,
right?
You know, like, but there is something to be said about like if you do well, you should be rewarded. But it seems as though doing well has a really high bar. And there is basically there is a void. There is just a gap between doing well and nothing.
Yes.
And it's like, make top 32, make top 64, or you don't really get anything. And I think that hurts goal setting. That hurts players who maybe aren't good enough to make that level.
If you were like, I'm not getting any better. This is my plateau. I'm never getting any better. Then you make day two and then you drop. And that's everybody who is like you, you know?
Yeah.
And that should not be the way it works.
No, like the exciting part is seeing new players beat seasoned veterans.
Yes.
You know, like that is a very good story for the game. You know, like Aiden, 10 years old, beating DKP to win his top 8 slot and win a Golden Mickey. Like that is a story and that is so compelling. And
that kid has so much money now.
Oh my gosh, yeah. That's insane. He has more money than I do. Like, and I have a career. But so, like, that is a story that is so cool, and that is an inspiration. He should be an inspiration to every single Lorcana player, where it's just like, I can do it. He did it. I can do it. And if the gap between succeeding and not succeeding is too large, like if there's no delineation, if it's just a hard line, this is your line that you have to cross or else you did not succeed, then I think you're going to see players not trying as hard. You know, you're going to see fewer players entering the game. You're going to see fewer players going to these big tournaments because you're going to get a lot of apathy of kind of, well, what's the point? You know, like, mm-hmm. I can't beat the better players than me. And not everybody has the motivation to put up with losses. You know, like, losses can be really demoralizing. And I know I was really demoralized at the beginning of this season because of how luck based it is. And
if you had just stayed there, maybe I would have won some set championships.
Yeah, I mean, I really turned it around once the format was clicked with me. I really took it in stride. But like, I mean, if I wasn't motivated to getting better just for the sake of getting better, I don't know that I would consider going to Richmond. You know, like, I think there's a little bit of me that's just like, I mean, why waste the time? Why waste the time and money? And there, you know, at my lowest moment when I was really tired on my way back from Milwaukee, I was kind of like, why did I even bother going in the first place? You know, like, if, but that's not how I feel most of the time.
Right.
But I think that there are a lot of players that does apply to. And I think if you make it a gradient, if you make it a gradient of what success means based on the prizes that are given out, then I think you counteract that attitude, that air around the tournament. And I think it makes it a more friendly environment. And you know, Ravensburger is doing a lot to encourage a more friendly competitive scene, much to the chagrin of some of the pro players who are complaining about the take back rule that was in effect at Milwaukee, you know, but like, that shows clear intent. It shows clear intent that Ravensburger has a vision for what these DLCs are, and it is not a Magic the Gathering tournament. And I think the next step is going to be, you know, like, flatter pricing throughout day one. Like, yeah, keep the crazy enchanteds for Top Cut and the Golden Mickeys and whatever comes after that. But like, 90% of your players are not making it out of day one.
I absolutely thought you were saying like flattering pricing, like, hey, you did really good. Here, have a card. Hey, you also
foil good jobs.
Yes.
Foil good jobs.
Yes.
Given out every single round that you win. Mm-hmm. I bet that'll be a promo at some point. That's gonna be, I'm calling it now.
It's pretty on the nose in a great way.
Kind of a patronizing way.
I'm trying to remember what event it was. One of our local events had that as, and I got and I was like, good job. Hey.
Yep. I got one of those also. And it was not patronizing because
it wasn't. Like
they can print their own cards, right. You know,
it was clever. Like,
yeah, it was fun. Yeah.
Yeah.
Enchanted good jobs. That's what I think the next season should have.
Perfect.
Any final words to say about DLC Milwaukee?
DLC Milwaukee. There was pumpkin decorating outside.
There was. And if we had done worse, maybe we would have gone outside to do that. There's also a very sketchy diner that we had dinner at one night.
Oh, yeah. That was all of the sketch.
Yeah, it was a little sketchy. Food was fine. I didn't have a problem with the food. Hadn't had anything to eat that day, so...
Low bars.
Probably low bar. But yeah, overall, yeah. I had a good time.
Yeah.
We both met our goals.
Yep.
And we're going to try for Richmond tickets. Met a lot of really cool people.
Yeah, I think the only person that I wasn't super excited to play against was the one who knocked me out. And that might be why I wasn't super excited to play against them.
Yeah, you're like, oh, you're going to be my downfall, aren't you? Yeah.
I see your dogs.
Okay, I see where this is going. Yeah, that's unfortunate. But most of the people that I played, I never played against anybody who was like a jerk.
Yeah. Not everybody was great.
You know. Yeah, everybody was really cool and really really excited to be there and played very well. Didn't do as much advertising for the podcast as I was hoping, but I did get some comments.
I got one comment
on the playmat.
One. Yeah. On day 2. I think last round.
Oh yeah. Wow. Wow. Yeah, really waited until the very end.
I think it was round 7, yeah.
We're going to beat our goals in Richmond. We're absolutely going to get tickets.
Third place.
100% guaranteed. I'm going to get second. Beat my previous record by 160 slots. It's fine. I'll lose to Aiden in the finals.
Everybody'll be happy.
And everybody will be happy. No one will be happy if I win, so I'll accept that.
Yeah. Yeah.
So. All right. Well, let's get out of here. I gotta go read some more drama that's happening.
Oh god.
I'm such a sucker for it.
Yeah. And it just keeps coming.
And it will never stop. Okay, goodbye.
Goodbye.